Hispanics now make up the largest minority group in Wisconsin at 6.34% of the population. That's according to new U.S. Census data out yesterday. African Americans previously made up the state's largest minority group. They're now second with 6.26%, just a little bit behind.
The trend of a growing Hispanic population has been clear since the early 1980s, quintupling since then from 60,000 to over 350,000.
Here with us to talk about the growing Hispanic population here in Wisconsin is Enrique Figueroa. He's director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Roberto Hernandez Center. That center serves Latino students at UWM and the community of southeastern Wisconsin as well. Enrique, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, as we said, this isn't a new trend, a growing Hispanic community. Did you expect, though, that Hispanics would make up the largest minority group in the state in 2014?
I was off probably a year. My calculations indicated that probably would be a year from now. But actually, the data that the census is reporting is as of July 13. Hmm. So my calculation would be July 14. So we all knew that it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when it would happen.
And which parts of the state are seeing most of the growth of the Hispanic population?
Well, in total numbers, Milwaukee County is probably leading the state because the base is so large. But places like Brown and Dane and Kenosha and Racine and Rock and Walworth are probably the largest, the counties with the largest Hispanic population. But you'll find Latinos or Hispanics in every county in the state now. And if you look at the chart that the Journal Sentinel published today, I mean, there's some counties that had growth rates of 600%, I think, was the highest from 2000 to 2013. So, yeah, I have it here. Crempolo County increased, the Hispanic population increased by 655%, which is the highest growth rate of any county. So, but the base was pretty small.
Mm-hmm. So who is driving this growth? Are we talking about immigrants moving straight to Wisconsin or people who've been in the U.S. for one, two, or more generations?
No, most of the growth now is coming from what we call native-born Hispanics. In the 90s and into the 2000s, a good amount of the growth was coming from immigrants. But now it's native-born Hispanics, i.e. people that are born here and are American citizens.
Right. Wisconsin's not traditionally a point of entry for new immigrants. We're not near a coast or a national border. So it's people who maybe came in a generation or two possibly into the U.S. Where do we know regionally where they're coming from in the country?
There's a good amount of individuals that are Latinos or Hispanics in Wisconsin that are originally from Texas. The migrant stream in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s for agricultural work originated with a number of people from Texas, and those individuals settled out. So Texas is a big contributor. A number of people came to Chicago, northern Illinois, and over time they decided to go further north. So entry point was Chicago, but subsequent generations, people moved to Wisconsin. So, and there's also more recent immigrants that have come in the 90s and the early 2000s from different parts of Mexico, and their children are the ones that are leading to this growth that we see manifested in today's or yesterday's report.
Is there anything that Wisconsin needs to reassess or change when it comes to our politics or our social attitudes considering the growth of the Hispanic community?
Well, as you know, depending on how attuned the people are to the news, your listeners, the people that are more attuned probably knew that this was developing nationwide. The Latino population surpassed the African-American population some years back. So there is some, in my judgment, some things that people need to be aware of and perhaps concerned about, and that is that the Latino population is a relatively young population. The percentage of the total population that is under 18, for example, is fairly large as compared to the white population in the state or the African-American population. So that what I've mentioned is that the demand on education, whether it's K-12 or higher ed, Latinos have a relatively higher demand because there's relatively more of us that are entering that age group. That is also happening where, at the same time, where we know that investment, particularly in higher ed, is not keeping up or, in fact, not increasing at any rate. So the disproportionately Latinos are getting a disproportionate effect because we're greater demanders of higher ed, if you will. So I think that's one thing in particular that is very important, because 20 years from now, a significant portion of the workforce in the state of Wisconsin are going to be Hispanics, and they need to be educated and trained now, so that in their productive years, in their 40s and 50s, in their peak productive years, they're actually fulfilling their peak performance with the education and training we provide today.
Well, let's start with kindergarten through 12th grade. Are there things that schools maybe should be doing differently, especially schools that are seeing the higher rates of growth in the Hispanic population?
Well, one thing that I would argue is that you certainly need to recruit more Latino and Hispanic teachers. One is because most of those individuals are generally bilingual, and you need to have individual teachers that can communicate well with parents. I mean, the kids will learn English and speak English, but a good number of parents are still monolingual Spanish speakers, so the ability of a teacher to be able to communicate directly with a parent, I think, is important, and so their bilingual capabilities are important. But not only bilingual capabilities, bicultural capabilities, because there are some cultural issues that facilitate learning, facilitate the understanding of the dynamics of how a household, Latino household functions versus a non-Latino household. So having a higher percentage of Latino teachers in the teacher corps, I think, is very important.
What kind of cultural issues, cultural barriers might there be between a family and a school in this case?
Well, there's this whole issue of respect. I mean, a lot of parents in Central and South America and in Mexico view teachers as being very respectful individuals, so generally they will not raise many questions, they will not challenge anything that's going on with the teaching of their children. And at times we do need parents to be a little bit more engaged and a little bit more critical of whether Mario or Juanita are getting a good education or not. So that's number one. Number two is that there is this tendency of people to leave education to the teachers and the professionals. They know what's going on better than what we would be able to contribute. And parents kind of discount their ability to influence what should be happening in the schools and their children.
Now, how about cases where a student might need some help with English as a second language? Is Wisconsin ready to meet their needs?
I don't know specifically the number of English as a second language programs out there, so I can't comment directly on it. I would speculate that there's probably a greater demand for those kind of services than what's currently being supplied, but I can't give you any hard numbers on that.
Okay. And speaking of education, we've talked a lot about educational disparities between white and black populations in schools, disparities health, income, educational outcome in particular. Do you see Latinos having a similar disparity?
Yes. The disparities exist. The disparities are not as large as compared between whites and African Americans, but they are still there. I mean, Latinos generally fall somewhere in between. If I'm just picking numbers here, the whites are at 10 and African Americans are at 5, Latinos would generally fall about 7, perhaps 8 or 6. So the disparities exist. They have been persistent. And we need to think in terms of how to narrow those gaps, not only for Latinos, but for African American students as well.
And also just looking at disparities, we see great segregation, large amounts of segregation, especially in the Milwaukee area, sometimes called the most segregated in the country. How does that play out with the Hispanic community in Wisconsin? Is there that kind of radical segregation here in the state?
I don't know if I would use the term radical because, again, I haven't seen any hard data similar to the hard data that's documented the white and African-American segregation. But if you look at the South Side, I mean, people would historically and contemporaneously say that a large chunk of the Latino population is in the South Side, which is true. But you are seeing Latinos now moving more west and south within Milwaukee County. But you also see Latinos in other parts of the county, in other parts of southeastern Wisconsin. So I would speculate that the segregation is there. But the severity or the degree to which it exists in the African-American white communities is not as severe as in the, let's say, the white and Latino communities. But it is there. There is some segregation.
We're speaking with Enrique Figueroa. He's director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Roberto Hernandez Center. U.S. Census data out yesterday shows that Hispanics are now the largest minority group here in Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you on this one. Are you one of the Hispanics in Wisconsin that we're talking about? We'd like to hear your story. Have you noticed demographic shifts? And what do you think Wisconsin can do to be more inclusive of minority groups? If you belong to a minority group, how has a Wisconsin majority group responded to you? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're back with Enrique Figueroa, director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Roberto Hernandez Center. We're talking about new U.S. Census data out yesterday showing that Hispanics are the largest minority group in Wisconsin now at 6.34% of the population.
And we'd like to hear from you. Those are the big numbers, the big data from the census. Can you put a human face on this for us? Are you one of the Hispanic community here in Wisconsin? Have you been here for years? Did you just move here? Did you just move here from another part of the country or another part of the world? What's Wisconsin like from your eyes? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or do you work in the schools? Are you dealing with having English as a second language classes, reaching out to parents in the Hispanic community? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Enrique, I'd like to ask a basic language question. I've been stumbling a little bit over going back and forth between the phrases Hispanic and Latino. Can you tell me what's the appropriate usage?
Well, I think both of them are appropriate. People would say that Hispanics has certainly been around longer. It probably goes to the Nixon administration when it was first coined. Latinos is a relatively newer term. Some people would say it is probably a more progressive term. But both are appropriate.
All right. And I wanted to talk about politics a little bit. Every now and then around election time, you see a lot of articles about what is the Latino vote going to do in this race, usually for president or the U.S. Senate. Is it that simple? Is there such a thing as a Latino vote, or is it a little more complicated than that?
Well, there is, Latino voters, obviously, but we're not a monolithic entity. Contrary to African-American voters, which historically have been Democratic voters in the 90 percentile range, Latinos are not that much inclined to vote democratically as, say, African-Americans. President Obama got about 70% of the Latino vote in his last election, which is fairly high. President Bush too, he probably got the highest Latino vote at 41% in his first election. So in certain states, in the presidential election, the Latino vote was critical in swinging the state's electoral college votes into the column of the last two elections, the President Obama's column. Here in Wisconsin, as some of your listeners would agree with, is that roughly about 48-49% of the electorate is likely to vote Republican, and another 48 or 49% is likely to vote Democratic. So you have this relatively small number of the electorate that will swing the election one way or the other. And in this respect, Latinos representing 6.5% of the total electorate, but about probably closer to 3%. 6.5% of the total population, but only about 3 or 4% of the electorate because of we're young and some of us are not citizens. So I think both parties are going to put significant resources in convincing Latino voters out there to vote their party. So, and they may indeed play a crucial role in this November's election.
Do we see discrimination against Latinos here in Wisconsin? We've seen lots of waves of immigration from different places around the world over years. Those immigrants have encountered varying degrees of hostility and welcome. What would you say Wisconsin is doing when it comes to Hispanics?
I think indeed most Hispanics in the state of Wisconsin will tell you that at some point in their lives they've experienced discrimination in one form or another. The national surveys substantiate that. So in terms of how discrimination is manifested, a number of folks would tell you that if they don't speak English, as most people do, i.e. that there's an accent detected, people conclude that because of your inability to speak English well, that they conclude that you're somehow less able to do other things, i.e. you're not as smart, perhaps you're stupid, and that is certainly not the case. Two is that a number of Latinos that have been here in this country for a number of generations feel the wrath of some folks that are anti-immigrants, and because your skin is a particular color, i.e. similar to the immigrant's color, that a lot of people conclude that you're an immigrant, even though you've been here for generations, so that you're not as truly accepted as an American as most people would like.
Back in May, immigration agents, speaking of the immigration issue over in Milwaukee, arrested and detained 22 people. Some had committed violent crimes, were gang members, they said. Others hadn't committed crimes apart from their immigration statuses. How does the immigration debate affect Latinos in Wisconsin, and how do they look at that issue?
Most Latinos here in the state of Wisconsin, I would argue, have relatives or friends that are immigrants. Indeed, my parents were immigrants. I was born here, but both my father and mother were born in Mexico. So we have direct connections, affiliations with immigrants at one point in our lives. So we recognize and understand what immigrants go through in this country. And therefore, we're very supportive of having comprehensive immigration reform completed so that people can move on with their lives. The debate, as you know, created a good amount of polarization in folks in our country. Some people are very supportive of comprehensive immigration reform, and other people are not very supportive. So the folks that are not very supportive kind of paint all of us in the same brush. When they see you walking down the street, people conclude that you're an immigrant, and you may not. So people don't want to be treated that way.
You've been watching these population trends. You said the rise of Hispanics as the largest minority population in the state was a year or so ahead of your calculations. Let's look to the future, though. Are these trends going to keep going in the same direction?
Yes, because, as I mentioned earlier, the growth now, the most of the growth now is coming from native-born individuals as compared to immigrants. So you will see the Latino population continue to grow. Perhaps you will not see it at the growth rates that we saw in the decade of the 90s or the decade of the 2000s, but it will be a continuous and progressive growth rate, and that people will start recognizing that we are contributing factors of our communities. We represent vigor and growth, and over time, we certainly will be fully incorporated in our civic engagements, in our respective communities. I hope that takes place sooner rather than later.
What would you like to see the state do on a policy level and just everyday Wisconsinites do to embrace that future?
Well, certainly one, to invest in education. You know, about 20-something percent of the students in MPS are Latino, for example. It's probably closer to 25%, 1 in 4. Nationwide, that is indeed the case. 1 in 4 of kids under 18 are Latinos, so that a large wave of us will be seeking education. So we need to invest in our educational institutions to provide that kind of knowledge and training for Latinos. Two, I think it's very important for communities to start engaging and incorporating Latinos in their community so that they feel an investment and a stake in the well-being of the community instead of being outsiders, if you will. And thirdly is to recognize that from an economic development perspective, the more that people are contributing economically, the better for respective communities for them to grow economically. And Latinos are going to be progressively a larger and larger part of that development.
Enrique, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Enrique Figueroa. He's director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Roberto Hernandez Center, talking about new census data out yesterday showing Hispanics now make up Wisconsin's largest minority group.